of John this morning. So if you'll find that and stand with me, we'll read our text. The Gospel of John, chapter 15. I'm just going to begin reading in verse number 1. Our text is verse 12 through 14 this morning. We're going to start in verse 1 and make our way all the way to verse 14. Okay? John 15, beginning in verse 1, follow as I read. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." By the way, it's an interesting thing to look at the scriptures as Jesus is teaching his disciples and say something like this, "Now ye are clean." You know what that implies? It implies that God wants to cleanse us. He wants us to be clean. And he equips us with all that we need to be cleansed. And he is the source. He's the source. He's the reason we're able to be clean. That's beautiful. Verse 14, or verse 4, rather. He says this, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love." Verse 10. "If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Now our text for this morning. "This is my commandment, that ye love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you." We're going to be talking about a difficult subject this morning. It's two words, and one of them we like more than the other word. The first word is sacrifice. That's the word we don't like. The second word is yourself. That's the word we like, unless it has the word sacrifice right in front of it. Sacrifice yourself. Father, we need you this morning. We confess that for so many reasons, Lord. And if not for anything else, we feel it in our soul that we need you. We're empty without you. We're lost without you. We have a lot of questions. We have no answers. But you have all the answers. And so we pray that you'd speak to us today. We are needy this morning. We are needy. So I pray that you'd guide us in your path. Fill us with your Spirit. And we'll give you glory for what you do. And Father, also, we're going to respond. We're determined to respond. We're here because we need you. We want to hear from you, but we also want to serve you and we want to be right with you. And so as you speak to us this morning, we're determined that we're going to obey. We're going to respond. And so for those that perhaps haven't decided that, I pray you'd give them courage today to respond in obedience. And we'll give you glory for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. It's not always easy to sacrifice yourself. It is easy to want things to be done for you. That's natural for me. And I found that now that I have teenage boys, then I can just tell them what to do all day long. I'll say things like, "Hey, guys, go get me a water, please." And that's, you know, I'm dad. I issue commands and they obey. Go get me a water, you know. What else do I want? Go do that for me too. You know, anything I think of, I'll just say to the boys, "Hey, will you go do this for me?" And maybe they'll complain about it, but they know that's not going to go too far. You know, dad wants this to be done. We're gonna move forward with it. You know, "Hey guys, you know, rub my feet for me." No, I don't say that. Nor do I want them to do that. It changes though, because along the way, I have done that so much that now they're doing it to me. What do I mean by that? Here's what I mean. I mean, they're sitting on the couch and I'm walking by and they say something like this, "Hey, Dad, would you get me a water?" Now, it's different when that happens because I'm thinking, "Get your own water." That's what I'm thinking. But there's sort of a disruption there as it relates to what I expect people to do for me at times and then what I expect that I should do for them. Sacrificing yourself means you're going to be willing to do for them, and it might be that you're not having great expectations about what they're going to do for you. That's what sacrificing yourself means. By the way, what an example we have in Jesus. Amen. Think about one of the greatest verses in all of the Bible that says this: "For God so loved the world that he gave," that's like a key word in that verse, "he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The theology of that verse is why we're here this morning. It's why we declare the message. Because people have a chance to be saved. People have a chance to hear about salvation, their need of salvation, that we're all sinners and we need Christ. We need him to redeem us. And because we're lost, we need God to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. And so the theology of that verse says that God sent his Son to die in our place. He gave himself to die for us. And so the gospel has meaning in our life. It makes us redeemed. It makes us born again because God sacrificed himself for us. That's the nature of that message. We can't die for ourselves. He needed to die for us. He is the reason we are able to have everlasting life. If you're not saved this morning, you're not going to save yourself. You're not going to redeem yourself. You're not going to work your way into God's favor. We are able to be saved because of what Jesus did for us. He paid our penalty. And you need to be convicted about that. You need to be convicted about your sins. You need to understand that your sins have already separated you from God and will separate you from God for all of eternity if you don't turn your heart to Christ. And so this idea of sacrifice and sacrificing yourself is built on the principle that Jesus gave himself for us. Now look what he teaches his disciples beginning in verse number 12. Follow this. "This is my commandment." Jesus starts off teaching his disciples about abiding in him. And he says this: "This is my commandment." Now, what's he talking about? Look at verse number 10. "If ye keep my commandments." So Jesus is building his case here, teaching his disciples of how they'll have a walk with him, how they'll have a relationship with him, and how they'll have strength to do what he's calling them to do. He's the source of their strength. He says, "Abide in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches." So if you're going to do the work that I'm calling you to do, you're going to get the strength from me, or you won't have the strength at all. Amen. Then he teaches them in verse 10, "If you keep my commandments." And when he said that, there's grace there because he wants them to learn how to keep his commandments. He wants them to learn how they can live and have the faith that would give them everything they need to do what God wants them to do. We need that too. We need God to give us the ability to do what He's calling us to do. For example, this morning, if you need to be saved, and I already said you can't save yourself, then what you need, only God can give you. He's the source of it. And so you need to listen for His call, for His voice, for the conviction, so that you can know, I need to be saved, and I need to turn myself to Him. And so obedience to His command, in a sense, is your decision to turn yourself to Him as the only hope of salvation. But walking in obedience to the Lord also is necessary for us to accomplish what He's calling us to accomplish as saved individuals, as people who are desiring to live for God and to have a ministry for Him. And so He says in verse 10, if you keep my commandments, verse 12, this is the commitment that He's talking about. By the way, there's grace in verse 12, just that phrase. By the way, this is my commandment. In other words, I want you to know precisely what it is. I don't want you to wonder about it. How frustrating is it when you know you need to be doing something, but you don't know what you need to be doing? That's frustrating. God doesn't want you to wonder. And so He says, this is my commandment. Look at verse 12 again, that ye love one another. By the way, that phrase right there, you just take it out and you just plaster it on a poster or something, that ye love one another, that's a packed phrase. That you love one another. By the way, that phrase all by itself has lost meaning in this world today. The world doesn't understand what Jesus is talking about. So when Jesus says that you love one another, the world doesn't know what that means. The world has an opinion about what that love looks like. But you know what? We don't get our view on this kind of love from the world. We don't go to the world and find out what love looks like. Because the world doesn't understand what love looks like. To the world, it's fleshly. To the world, it's even beyond fleshly. It's me accepting you in your sins and being okay with you living in your sins. To the world, that's what love is. But to Jesus, that's not what love is. So then how do we know? Look at the last part of that verse. I love this. Verse 12, He says that you love one another as I have loved you. And so that's the example. That's the standard. The world doesn't define love. Jesus does. So if you then are going to obey Jesus' command, who said, love one another, we don't decide what that looks like. Jesus does. And He said it this way, I'm commanding you to love each other, but here's precisely how I want you to do it. The way I did it. The way I love you. That's how I want you to love each other. Now that might be a little unclear for some people. So God wants me to love others the way He loves me. What exactly does that look like? Look at verse 13. He begins to describe it. He says it this way. Greater love hath no man than this. In other words, what He's about to say after that phrase, there's no greater way to demonstrate your love for somebody else than what Jesus is about to say. And by the way, He's already declared that He Himself is the example of this kind of love. Well, what's He say? Verse 13, greater love hath no man than this. Okay, well, what is it? That a man lay down his life for his friends. That phrase right there is packed with meaning. It says that a man lay down his life. That means ultimately it means this. Your life is more important to me than my life is to me. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to lay down my life. And then He said this at the end of that verse. For His friends. For His friends. That word for, it's used a lot of times in the Scripture. In fact, it's used 160 times in the New Testament. It's a preposition, and it literally means on the behalf of. The word for there. On the behalf of my friends. So Jesus says, the love that I am commanding you to live with is the love that I've demonstrated for you. And it's the kind of love where I look at my life, the things that I want, the things that I feel, and I sacrifice those things on the behalf of you, for his friends. And that's the example that Jesus is laying down for his disciples. By the way, that's the example that Jesus was for his disciples when he laid down his own life for them, on the behalf of them. Now look at verse number 14. Because he brings it all together with this. He says, "Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you." So what does that mean? It means this is what characterizes somebody as a friend of Jesus. This is, if somebody is going to be characterized as a follower and a friend of Jesus, this is the chief characteristic according to Jesus. He says, "You're my friends." In other words, this is what characterizes you as my friend, that you do this commandment. So in other words, there's no real way around this. You'll look like Jesus if you sacrifice yourself, and you do not look like Jesus if you're not willing to sacrifice yourself. I mean, it's pretty black and white. It's fairly plain. This is what characterizes somebody as a follower of Jesus. Well, on the way to church this morning, I had the boys just say some scripture to me. I said, "Okay, guys, say some scripture to me." And one of the boys from the back hollered up a scripture to me, and I want to read it to you what he said. In Matthew 6, you don't have to turn there, but here's what he said. Jesus is speaking. He says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment?" Jesus said this, "I say unto you, take no thought for your life." You know why Jesus would continue to teach his disciples things like this? It's because it's the opposite of what we do. It's the opposite of what our tendency is. Our tendency is not to take no thought for our life. Our tendency is not to consider how decisions affect somebody else versus how they affect me. Missionary in Sunday school referenced this morning, that often people have a hard time getting involved with missions because of how it disrupts their life. I don't want to really be involved because this, you know, this affects me in a negative way. Or before a decision is made, I need to consider making this particular decision, and I'm going to weigh the pros and the cons. You know what weighing the pros and the cons often is motivated by? How does this affect me? Because if it is beneficial for me in a cost-benefit analysis, then I'll move forward with it. If it doesn't, in the end, from my perspective, in the way that I have concluded in all of these equations, if it doesn't benefit me the way I feel comfortable with it benefiting me, then I'm not going to do it. And that's how we often operate. We operate often by how do things benefit me? How does this help me? Or how does this hurt me? How does this not benefit me? Because that's going to be what is going to determine whether or not I do this or not. You're in John chapter 15. Go to chapter 13. Look at verse 37. Ready? John 13, 37. Peter said unto him, "Lord, why cannot I follow thee? I will lay down my life for thy sake." So Peter, that's quite a statement of commitment, isn't it? Peter said, "Jesus, why can I not follow you? I'll lay down my life for you." That's what he said. But look how Jesus responded in verse 38. Jesus answered him, "Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake?" As a matter of fact, Jesus knows something about Peter that Peter doesn't even know about himself in this moment, is that Peter thinks that he's willing to lay down his life, and Jesus simply asked a question that Jesus already knew the answer to. Will you lay down your life for my sake? In other words, will you sacrifice yourself, Peter, really? You say that you will, but will you really? Because in just a few hours, you're going to deny me three times. And just as you thought that you would lay down your life for my sake, Jesus says, you're not quite so willing to lay down your life as much as you think that you will. I love how he says his question, because it's probing, isn't it? You can ask yourself that question. As you might declare, well, I would sacrifice myself and I would lay down my life. And Jesus says, will you lay down your life for my sake? Would you do that? People often think about how decisions affect them, as I was saying just a minute ago. And they're not thinking about how their decisions affect the people around them. That's just the way the world is. That's the way the world operates. My mother-in-law has these gingerbread cookies that she loves. And I had some of them. Those are good. They're seasonal. That means you can only get them at certain times of the year. And this is the season for gingerbread cookies. And so, here we go. We're going to go to the store. By the way, only certain stores sell these gingerbread cookies. Okay? And she loves to go to those stores to see if there's any gingerbread cookie packages in there. And she would go to the store and she would pick out some bags of gingerbread cookie, you know, some of those bags of those special cookies that are only there at a certain time of the year. And you know what she would always do? She'd leave a couple bags back. Even though maybe down deep inside, she wants to take all the bags. But she would leave some. Why would she do that? For somebody else who comes along, they might want some gingerbread cookies too. So she was in the store the other day, and she made her way to the aisle, and she forecasted. She saw up at the end of the aisle, and on the rack there was some packages of gingerbread cookies. And so she got a little excited. And there was a person that was just in front of her, and it seemed as though she was on her way that direction too. And she made her way to the place where the gingerbread cookies, just ahead of my mother-in-law, and she began to take the gingerbread cookies, same ones, and put them in her cart. And she took one bag after another bag, until there were no bags left. And my mother-in-law was standing there watching her put each bag in her cart. And her heart was being, you know, broken in the whole process. You know what that is? It's an example of somebody who's not willing to sacrifice themselves. And that's how people often live. People often live with, how does this affect me? What can I do for myself? I was here first. I'm going to take the bags of the cookies. And for you, too bad, so sad. You snooze, you lose. That's their attitude. That's often the attitude of this world. And if we're honest, it's often our attitude too. But Jesus says what characterizes a follower of Jesus, somebody who is living this commandment and who's decided, I want to love my brothers and my sisters, and I want to demonstrate the love in this world that Jesus has demonstrated. Here's what he says. You need to be willing to lay yourself down for them, for their sake. So then it's not about you anymore. It's not about whether or not you get the bag of cookies. It's not about whether or not you get to get the thing that you want to get. Because you're willing to lay that aside. We look at our spouse, and often we aren't thinking so much about how what we want to do affects our spouse. Do you know what we often think about? Is how what we are going to do in our family and in our life and how it affects me. And I already told you about how I am with the kids sometimes I'm like, hey, get me a bottle of water. Hey, do this for me. You know, I love these chocolate Hershey cupcakes. Okay. Like, it is a problem. Okay. And the Lord's working on me about it. I get it. So don't come to me after church. Pastor, those are going to kill you. I know. I already know that. And the Lord's helping me. But I do like them a lot. And so when there's a box of those Hershey cupcakes in the house, it's tempting for me to hide them and then eat all of them. And the kids are like, hey, Dad, where's the Hershey things? I don't even know what you're talking about. So it might be along the way that we know what we do because of how it affects us, and we're not thinking about our kids. We're not thinking about how we're spending all our time doing what we want to do, watching what we want to watch, looking at our phone, and going to the things that we go to, and we're not thinking about the time we need to be spending with our kids, and the things we need to be investing in their lives, and how we need to be giving ourselves for them and not for ourselves. Amen. We don't often think that way, though. We often think about, well, this is what I really want to do. Jesus says, you can do that, but that's how the world is. That's not how followers of me are, because what I'm commanding you to do is to love each other, but you're not the one who decides what that looks like. I decide, Jesus says. And here's what it looks like. Sacrifice yourself. There's no other way. Sacrifice yourself. Sacrifice ourselves for our coworkers, for our employees, for people who need to hear about Christ, for our church family, for our missionaries. What can we do? What can we do so that we can do more for our missionaries? Well, I promise you this. It'll always involve sacrificing yourself if you're going to do it the way that Christ has shown us. Sometimes sacrificing yourself means you got to get something out of your life. Sometimes it means you have to be willing to change. You know, I think that sometimes this is why we come to church and we're not really ready to receive what God has for us. Did you hear that? Let me say it again. This is why we come to church sometimes and we're not really ready to receive what God has for us. Why is it, Pastor? Because we're not willing to sacrifice ourselves. And He wants to break through, but we have a hard shell there. And we have things that we are not willing to consider giving up or changing or sacrificing or doing different. We're not even willing to consider it. So we come to church, and coming to church and being involved with spiritual things just becomes, like our missionary said in Sunday school, it's like a routine. We're going through the motions. And God has something for you, but it will require you to be willing to sacrifice yourself to get there. And if you're not willing to do that, you're not even willing to consider it, then you're stuck. You're not going to get past that. But it doesn't have to be that way. What do we do, Pastor? Here's what you do. You just take everything that you do in life. In fact, take your whole life. And just put it on the table and say, God, you take whatever you want to take. You do what you want to do. Because it's not really about me. You know what Jesus said to the Father? Not my will be done, but thine. He's our example. We should take our life, we should put it on the table and say this. God, not my will be done, but thine. Lord, what do you want me to do? I need to spend more time, don't I? Yes. I need to get rid of my phone, don't I, God? Yeah. You need to get one of those flipper phones, you know what I mean? You need to get rid of the one that you look at all day. Because you're looking at it all day. Maybe. You might need to delete some of that stuff off of there if you don't have trouble. You might need to stop playing as much video games. You might need to you might need to start investing yourself and giving yourself in a way where it's going to be difficult for you as it relates to your finances. Because I'm investing myself here because this is what I want and this is what I want to do. But God says, listen, I have something else for you. You just have to be willing to make the sacrifice along the way. Are you willing to do that? Because here's how you show your love. That reflects the kind of love that Jesus shows to us. Sacrifice yourself. You know, just saying that is hard. I challenge you to take that bulletin home, put it on the front of the fridge because it says these words, sacrifice yourself, and just meditate on that every day this week. You know why I know that it'll break through to you? Because I did it every day this week. And I'm going to be honest with you. I wasn't getting it. I wasn't getting it. Friends, family, church family, loved ones, I love you. I don't want to be anywhere else. I want to be right here at Western Hills Baptist Church in Glendale, Arizona, with my family serving God for the rest of my life if the Lord will allow me to. That's where I want to be. And every day this week, I'm saying to myself, sacrifice yourself. Sacrifice yourself. And I said to the Lord every day, Lord, I don't get it. And last night, I'm walking again. And I'm like, Lord, I don't get it. And then I got it. I'm not going to tell you what he said to me, but I got it. Do you know what sacrifice looks like? Well, just consider that it might be that God wants you to sacrifice it. And that it is whatever God wants you to sacrifice. And if you're willing to say, God, I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do, now you understand. Now you understand what it means to sacrifice yourself. Because if you're like me, and every day you said it, and you're not getting it, you need to keep saying it. And it needs to become a prayer. God, would you help me understand this? Listen, I do not think, we're almost done, I do not think that there is anything as Christians that we need to learn more than how to love each other. But we are not the ones who decide how that works. The only way you can love each other with this kind of love is to learn what it means to sacrifice yourself. Because if you can't learn that, you can't love with His love. And this is what we need. We need to learn this. And we need God to teach us. Brother Buford, Miss Cassandra, if you weren't willing to do this, you wouldn't be in Uganda. That would be my guess. And you know that person who said to you, you announced it in Sunday school. I had somebody say that to me in Nebraska. You should have came earlier. It makes you glad you're there, but it makes you feel like I wish I'd have been here earlier. You know? And what if you didn't go? What if you didn't sacrifice yourself? Then they would have no chance to hear the gospel. That's why this is so important, friends. I'm not going to have you turn there. I was going to have you turn there, but I'm just going to tell you a story. There's a man named Gideon, and he was used of God. And in the conquest and how God was using him, that his men were famished. And they would have great hunger and they had great need. And they went to a city and they requested in Judges chapter 8 that these cities would feed them. And these cities said to them, they said to Gideon and his host, God's people, this city said to Gideon, feed yourself. Both cities. And do you know what happened to both of those cities? They were destroyed. They were destroyed because they were not willing to make any sacrifices. And I think that we can say that too. God teaching me to learn what it means to be like you, to sacrifice myself, because people need it. They need what you can do through me. And if I don't do this, then they won't get it. So teach me this. Show me what it looks like. Give me courage to be willing to do whatever you want me to do in obedience to you. And I also know, I also understand that if I embrace the mentality and the attitude of this world that says me first, all the cookies are for me, you can't have any of them, and I live that way, then I know that it'll come back to me in the form of destruction. So teach me, God. Teach me to sacrifice myself. That should be our prayer this morning. Father, this morning we're